know the enemy can't take what I have, change who I am, 'cause I belong to you. I know the enemy can't take what I have, but change who I am, 'cause I belong to you. And I've taken on your name, and I need to be reminded that I belong to you. Oh, I belong to you. No, the enemy can't take what I have.
Good evening. How y'all doing this evening? How you doing this evening? Amen. Glad to see you guys. Welcome to U-Turn World Ministries. If this is your first time, there is a card in the back of the seat in front of you. Fill it out, please. Whenever we do offering, if we do offering, drop it in the bucket. If not, find me or Pastor Kevin or Miss Mallory or Miss Clover or Miss Becky or somebody just walking around here. Amen. Amen. So we'll do announcements right quick. Christmas party, next Sunday. No, this Sunday. this Sunday. It says next Sunday, but this is last week's. This Sunday, 16th, right after service. The address is 3280 Farmers Market, 2952 Bridgeport, Texas. Flyer on the bulletin board out in the foyer. This is the Methodist, I don't want to say compound, because then all of a sudden we get into cult type stuff. But anyway, they've got a facility. The Methodist Church got a facility out on Lake Bridgeport. It's really pretty. That's where we're going to have the Christmas party. Ugly sweater contest, Chinese Christmas. The Christmas gifts will be at a limit of $10 a piece. Wrapped gift, kids homemade cookie decorating contest, bring a dessert, kids singing this Sunday. It says signing. Are they signing?
No, singing.
They're singing. Singing. Okay, so we need to swap the N's and the G's, right? Amen. The Goodman unit was last weekend. My wife and I went and did that. We had 55 total come out. We had 20 to 25 give their life to Christ. Amen. You know, the chaplain there, he was like, you know, man, that's a five-hour drive for you guys. You know, I know that's grueling on you and all that. And I'm like, you know what? Scripture says that if one comes to repentance, it's been worth it, you know, and we were honored to see 20 to 25 guys give their life to Christ. Let's see, we got the die ball this weekend, so my wife and I are going down there. We also have James Stubblefield. We've got Mark 5 going in as well to do the praise and worship part of that. Die ball is one of the fun units that we have because we've got Miss Linda down there. She had committed and was convicted of murder and spent like 23 or 25 years of a life sentence. And the murder was committed in Dieball, and now she's back living in Dieball as a volunteer chaplain for the church there. Amen. She's cool as ice water too. Cool as ice water. January 6th, Mountain View Women's Prison. Must sign up today. That was last week. Need two teams will be going to death row. Amen. Prayer Sunday mornings, 8:30 to 10. You don't have to come in and spend the entire hour and a half in there. If you don't know how to pray, this is a fine opportunity to see corporate prayer in action. It would be a good time to learn. You know, Scripture says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word, right? So if we don't know something, it's a good thing to be able to watch it and hear it and see it to learn it. Amen? That's the reason why it's so important for parents to raise their kids up according to the words, according to the Christian walk, according to the Word of God. But they got to see it too. Because if it's just a do what I say and not as I do mentality, it's not really effective. Amen? If Jesus came and told you how to live life, but he was, you know, drinking and smoking and doing all that and doing everything contrary to what he was preaching, then it would have kind of been worthless. Amen. Women's Bible study every Sunday after service. Let's see. Pray for Shauna's mom. Amen. She is battling cancer, and her body has been consumed with cancer, and it's been really rough on the family. Amen. And I know Shauna, she is on fire for Jesus Christ, you know, but even then, you know, tragedies like this are a heavy burden to carry. Amen. Again, thank you guys for coming out. Amen. So y'all stand on up. Let's enter into worship. Y'all stand on up. Get the toilet paper out your face. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the opportunity to be able to come together and to corporately worship. You know what the word worshiper means in the Hebrew? It means a worker. Just put that out there. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity for us to come in and to worship corporately together, dear Heavenly Father. We give you praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. Chosen me, oh, love has called my name, and I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins, and I'm no longer a slave. Child of God, oh, I'm no longer a slave to fear, 'cause I am a child of God. Oh, I'm no longer a slave to fear, 'cause I am child of God. And I am surrounded by the I am surrounded by songs of deliverance, and we've been liberated from our bondage of sin. Daughter, oh, let us sing our freedom. Oh, 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 oh. So I could stand and sing that I am a child of God. Oh, you split the sea so I could walk right through it, and my fears were drowned in perfect love, and you rescued me. So I could stand and see I am a child of God. could stand and see. I am a child of God. Yes, I am a child of God. Yes, I am a child of God. Rescued me so I could stand and sing. I am a child of God. Yes, I am a child of God.
Now, just real quick. So I've been praying lately to understand, amen, but I've been praying lately to truly understand the cross and truly understand the blood. And Lord, it's so good that he showed me last Sunday again, because sometimes we get so caught up in everything else that we tend to forget, just like the children of Israel. But the reason that's such a good song is because the Bible says that at one time we were children of disobedience. We were children of wrath, doomed for the wrath of God until Jesus stepped up. And what's so great about that song is that we used to be enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ. We used to be enemies of the cross. We used to be enemies of the blood, and we used to serve the devil. And now we get to say that I'm a child of God. Now I get to say that I'm not addicted. Now I get to say that I'm not bound up in my sin anymore. We get to say that as children of God who have placed our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, who know that the blood was sufficient and who knows that the work of the cross was enough. And the Bible tells us to worship with understanding. So when we sing these songs, think about those things. This next song is You Never Let Go. The very God we used to mock by our lifestyle, the very God we used to curse by our lifestyle, is now the very God that stepped up and will never let us go.
Troubles, but until that day comes, we'll live to know you're here on the earth, and I will fear no evil. God is with me. And if my God is with me, whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall I fear? Singing, oh no, you never let go. Through the calm and through the storm, oh no, you never let go. In every high, every low, oh no, you never let go, Lord. You never let go of me. Singing, oh no, you never let go. Through the calm and through the storm, oh no, you never let go. In every high, every low, oh no, you never let go, Lord. You never let go of me. Yes, I can see a light that is coming for the heart that holds on. And there won't be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, still I will praise you. Still I will praise you. Yes, I can see a light that is coming for the heart that holds on. And there won't be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, still I will praise you. Still I will praise you. Singing, oh no, you never let go. Through the calm and through the storm, oh no, you never let go. In every high and every low, oh no, you never let go, Lord. You never let go of me. And I can see a light that is coming for the heart that holds on. And there won't be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, still I will praise you. Still I will praise you. Yes, I can see a light that is coming for the heart that holds on. And there won't be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, still I will praise you. Still I will praise you. Singing, oh no, you never let go. Through the calm and through the storm, oh no, you never let go. In every high and every low, oh no, you never let go, Lord. You never let go of me.
you came to my rescue, and I wanna be where you are. And I called you in search, and you came to my rescue, and I wanna be where you are. My whole life I'll place in your hands, God of mercy. Your presence at your throne. My whole life I place in your hands, God of mercy. Humbled I am bowed down in your presence. And you came to my rescue, and I wanna be where you are. Where I called, you answered, and you came to my rescue, and I wanna be where you did I in our world be lifted high, in our love be lifted high, in my life be lifted in our world be lifted high, in our love be lifted high, in my life be lifted high. In our world, be lifted high. In our love, be lifted high. And I called, you answered. And you came to my rescue, and I wanna be where you are. came to my rescue, and I wanna be where you are. Take up our offering now. I think I just got promoted. But for those of you guys that are here, you guys know what we do. Give your tithes an offering joyfully. The Bible says we love because he first loved us. The Bible says that freely you have received, now freely give. And I've been watching Ray Comfort, and he reminded me that 150,000 people every single day die. 150,000 people every single day die, and they're now in eternity. And I haven't been alive that long. But I really don't know other people that are on fire as what I see in this church. And I don't know other people, at least many of the people, who have absolutely given their lives for the purpose of the gospel. And this ministry does. So every penny you sow is going to advancing the kingdom of God. Every penny you put in that bucket goes for another gallon of gas to get us somewhere to preach the gospel. And it doesn't matter how much you give, because Jesus said the woman that gave two mites gave more than the Pharisees who gave 10%. So it doesn't matter if you have two pennies, if you have $2, if you want to hold on to it, or put it in the bucket. But anyway, you guys know what to do. If you're online right now, you're watching online, there's a donate now button. Anyway, you guys know what to do. Amen.
That I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. There's no place I would rather be. There's no place I would rather be. There's no place I would rather be.
than hearing your love, hearing your love, God. There's no place I would rather be. There's no place I would rather be. There's no place I would rather be than hearing your love, hearing your love, God. To set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this offering, Lord God. We thank you for every person that gave online, that just gave, Lord. And Heavenly Father God, we ask that you do what you do, and we ask that you multiply this seed that's sown. I pray, Heavenly Father God, that you would put a fire within our bellies, Lord God, to be the ones that go out into the harvest, Lord. Not just the pastors, not just the leadership, but everybody, every man, woman, and child in this church, Lord. I pray that you would use this seed to further your kingdom, Lord. And Heavenly Father God, we ask all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Can you hear me now? Praise God. I think they're going to take the kiddos to practice. You kiddos practicing something? Huh? Oh, you stay? Hold on now. I get a mixed up message. Three. Praise God. They got to learn. Amen. Have a seat. Amen. Early on Sunday morning. So get there early on Sunday morning. They're going to practice. All right? Don't be late. Bailey's going to cook you breakfast. I don't know. What? Uh-oh. Amen. Praise God. How's everybody doing tonight? How's everybody doing tonight? Come on now. Wake up. Praise God. If not, I'm going to make you stand out there in that north wind. That'll wake you up. Cold, wet rain coming down. Amen. It's trying to be wintertime, isn't it? Abby didn't know. She almost changed my message just sitting there with that. Y'all watch her with that offering? Woo! Rick hit the nail on the head back there. He goes, man, that's most adults right there. Can I get change for this? Amen. I used to go to church like, man, we passed the bucket around. It would, man, you get, especially be over there on the corners and the back edge on that. They'd be like, hey, bring me change back. What? You want change? Come on now. Making change out of that. Praise God. I'm not going to run off on a rabbit trail. You all right, Sister Abby? Hey, you put it in there. It's gone. You done planted that seed. Amen. I don't know if y'all watched her or not. She walked up there and she throwed that napkin in there. How old is she? She, what, a year and a half? Almost 2 years old now? And she already knows what money is. Because when she got that dollar in her hand, she held on to it. She knew what that was. Amen. We're to teach them. Praise God. Amen. Follow that bucket. There you go. Follow it. Stick with it. Stick with it. Amen. Praise God. I'm not going to assume that everybody knows who I am. Some of you may. I know we got a couple of new faces in here, but I'm associate. How are you doing, Sister Lorinda? And when you start acting right, we'll let you sit with the rest of the people over here on this side. Amen. Praise God. I'm associate Pastor Chris. Amen. Y'all don't see me too much with my wife and the stuff that we're going through, but praise God, we're going through it. Amen. But we're here, and associate pastor, Kevin is out and about providing for his family. Amen. So why are you pointing at her for? And my daughter, amen. Yeah, she's going through it too, praise God. But God's bringing us through it, amen. I'm going to do this without tear jerking because I'm a tough guy, right? Amen. But some of y'all were here not this past Sunday, but the Sunday before. We weren't here this past Sunday because we were waiting for blood counts and numbers and all that. Some of y'all may know, wife is, we've beat leukemia, amen. But we got to go through this process. So they give her medicine and knock down her immune system and all that stuff, and it comes back. So we stay away for infection control, all right? And it's a serious deal, amen? So we weren't here this past Sunday because we started another cycle of chemotherapy. And but the Sunday before, we got to be here, amen? And most people here, praise God, some others showed up because they hadn't heard this testimony, but you're going to get a quick testimony from me here real quick. Sister Sharon, she heard it, and Jacoby and them heard it, and I don't know who else heard it. But anyways, everybody's going to hear it. This way it gets to be on film. Amen. It gets to be over the internet. But Sunday morning I woke up. A lot of people who may have been watching online, Jacoby hit the nail on the head also. He's not in here. But God, Holy Spirit moved inside of me, and they began to sing a song. And whenever I came up to address what had taken place, if you watch online, if y'all can go back and look a couple Sundays back, you'll know what I'm talking about. But I'm standing right about the first row right there in the middle, and I'm just... I don't have a microphone, so I'm just pointing like this. And Jacoby says, "You know what? It looks like you're kind of chewing us out, Pastor Chris." And I went back and I watched it. I was like, "You know what? He's kind of right, because you can't hear what I'm saying, but you can see my demeanor. And I'm excited, but from the back, it looks like I'm wearing them out, giving them a good talking to with my finger out and all that good stuff and what have you." But the testimony behind it all is, and it's not testimony service, but God bless me. That's Sunday. And when I got home later on, I really chewed on it. I got down to the marrow inside the bone of what actually took place. But I got up that Sunday morning, amen, and when I got ready, and I'm standing there at the sink in my bathroom, and this song just in my head, I love this song that they sing. I think not just because... It sounds like he's got gravel and glass in his throat and what have you, and Bailey's able to harmonize in and change her voice like a lot of the singers do now, but I think they sing this song better than anybody else, that even the people who wrote it or whatever who perform it, amen, they sing this song, and they sung this song in the hospital, and they did it acoustic in there, praise God. And I opened, back it up a little bit more. I was trying to remember how this went down, but they actually sang that song that Sunday morning in service, and then they came to the hospital that afternoon, and they sang it again there. And it sounded as good, it sounded better live than it did here at the church. We weren't here. And it just stuck with me. I mean, it lined up. Well, later on that evening, I know I can, but my wife almost died on us at midnight that night, and whatever, I laugh now, but when I look back on that, God was putting all this together, not back as far as when you brought to my attention when we thought he'd put it together, but he had put it together. I know before I was born, he'd put it all together, but I see now that it had gone all the way back to that Sunday before my wife almost died on me in front of my daughter and I. But, and that ties into the message I'm going to preach tonight. I will get to it, praise God. Holy Spirit, give it to me, so we're going to get to it. But it goes all the way back to that. So Sunday morning that I was here two Sundays ago that we were here and sitting back there, when I got to my sink that morning, I'm telling y'all, it's a good testimony. Praise God. Yes, but when I got to my sink, this song, God, Holy Spirit put it in my heart, put it in my mind, and it's Lay It All Down. So if y'all hadn't heard that song or heard him sing it, go back and look in the archives. Look it up on your phone. Do whatever. Listen to this song. And like Sharon and Jacoby say, really listen to the words to it. Really pay attention. Look up the lyrics if you got to and read through them without any music going along. But the song is Lay It All Down. When I got to the sink that morning, Sunday morning, God put that inside of me. And I was like, man, I love that song. It's just awesome. It stick. I got it. It ties into what's been going on and all that. So I was like, man, I'm singing. I said, you know what? I'd like to hear that song sung in church today. And Now, here's where the chastisement begins. And stick with me. I began to sing the song in my head as I was getting ready. And actually what I was doing was scheming and planning in my mind and in my heart how I was going to get this song sung in church that Sunday morning. Amen. I just introduced myself as what? Associate pastor. Okay? So I've never, both hands on the Bible, I've never used that for my personal gain financially or any form or fashion. But I figured, hey, what could it hurt to get your song leader to sing a song for you? Because you're associate pastor, right? I mean, it's just one song, right? Amen? It's just a song. You know, and just, it'd be awesome because I know everybody will love it when they hear it sung. It's going to be a blessing to the congregation. So I began to scheme in my mind how I was going to pull this off. And as we're getting ready, and I know some of y'all already heard this, so you're like, oh, you're dragging this out. I want you to get the full effect of this, of actually what God had put in place and took care of. As we're driving in, I began to put the steps or try to put this plan together, how I'm going to get this song sung in church on Sunday to bless me and the church. Okay, you see how I flipped that? So it's not all on me. It's going to be good for y'all as well. We have a meeting in here in the mornings with leadership. Pastor calls us in and talks to us and lets us know and how things and pray and all that and discuss and what have you. And I usually stand outside the door, much like I do here. I stand in the back of the church or what have you in case we're needed or whatnot. Well, same place there. Everybody's in there, and I just let them have the seats. The ladies have the chairs and whatever. My scheme in mind, I believe that, hey, usually when this meeting's over, everybody comes out, and I usually shake everybody's hand as they're coming out and say hi, good morning, and all that stuff. Well, as our song leader comes by, I'm going to slip a word to her to say, hey, y'all, you know that song? Maybe you could sing that song for this morning, because God's really put it on my heart. I got it all worked out. I'm going to do the old puppy dog eyes that I'm so good at and all this, and, you know, and it's she's just going to break, and, you know, my wife and Jacoby sung that in the hospital. Yeah, this will work. This will work. Well, nobody came out. Kevin actually sent a few out, but kept her in, myself in, Jacoby in, and some other pastors in the church in. So she didn't come out. And I, oh, man. Well, as soon as the meeting's over, I'll take care. I'll get it done. Well, we got in there, we got to talking, and I forgot about it. And come out, and church was starting. We had to go. And I, oh, man, I missed my opportunity to put the deal in, put the word in to get this song. So I'm standing in the back, and service is going on, and, you know, and it's, you can kind of tell how songs are going, how the mood is and all this stuff and how things are headed and directed and whatnot. And I'm thinking, you know what? I don't know. I'm just running out. And I thought, oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. He gave me the idea. Whenever I go up for offering, because a lot of times I get to do offering in the church, Jacoby will be up here and Sister Sharon will be up here, and I can get with one of them. I'll just, stop, Associate Pastor, sing this song for me. I got it. I'm in. So I'm just, man, I got it all ready, and I'm looking for my cue to go. And y'all watch the service, and Pastor Kevin gets up here, and he pulls the old, don't worry about it, Chris, I got it covered this morning. We need to pick up some pace here and whatnot. And I was like, the air was let out of my balloon, man. I was like, oh, man. Oh. Maybe I just blurted out. Hey, I can stand. I can get pretty loud back there. I don't need a microphone. I can just yell it out. Maybe. No, we're going to be respectful of the service and the order of everything. So I took a seat. I'm seriously, I was deflated. I thought, man alive, that's two strikes right there. Just, all right, Lord, maybe you're trying to tell. And he was teaching me. He was chastising me is what he was doing. And I sat down there. And we got back into the flow of service, and I think they sung one more song before that. And I was sitting right there on the edge of that seat. Y'all turn around and look where that bag is sitting right there. I was sitting in that seat right there where she's pointing at. I was sitting in that chair right there. And Sister Sharon was standing right here, and Bailey was right there. And she took that microphone, and she handed it to her. And as soon as she handed that microphone to Bailey, and Bailey took it, Holy Ghost jumped inside of me, and I knew that she was going to sing that song right then and there. I knew it. I knew right then and there. I'm going to break the stand. I knew Holy Ghost was going to let that song be sung in Sunday morning service. So that's why I did what I did, because I could not stand back there and contain what Holy Spirit had done for me, for disobedient me, trying to put everything together for my own benefit, even though I know it was a blessing for everybody else, because I saw people hitting their knees and praising God and letting Holy Ghost move in their lives. Amen. That evening, when I talked to Sister Sharon afterwards, and I told her what had happened, and she said, "Chris, you don't understand. We put the song sets together on Tuesdays, Mondays or Tuesdays of that week prior to that Sunday." Amen. So nearly a week before, God knew what was going on. And then when I got home, I began to think about when Jacoby and them would come over to pick up some decorations or something, and we were talking about, and I didn't say it to y'all, but Holy Ghost was speaking to me inside and saying, "Hey, they sang that song back whenever Becky was in the hospital before she almost died on you, and I wanted it sung then for you as well." So I know there's more to it and all that, but just the simple obedience to God, the simple obedience to, "Hey, be still and let me be God. Be still and let me be God. Don't, here I am, associate pastor. I'm trying to put my fingers in things and get stuff taken care of." In all truthfulness, it was for my benefit. It was to satisfy my flesh, to satisfy my desire inside of me. Amen? Amen? So I shared that for y'all that didn't get to know, to just know what God, I told Jacoby, I said, that made my year. Of course, my wife being alive is an awesome, beautiful thing. Amen? But I told her, I was like, "Man, that was icing on the cake right there." It's been 2 weeks ago since then, and I'm still chewing on it. I mean, it has just jumped up inside and just awesome. Awesome, awesome. I pray y'all get to experience that at least once in your life. At least once. Amen. If you haven't, seek it. Praise God. Just to notice what he's done and what he's capable of doing. Amen. Praise God. So I hope that was a blessing. At least now it's on recording. Amen. That I can go back and look at it and see it. Man, it was, like Jacoby said, if you didn't know what was going on, it looked like I was giving a good chewing out with the finger. It looked like I was on the job site or what have you. Just, "Hey, you can do this and that," or what have you. But it was a true blessing. Amen. So I could look on my phone here. I got the call at about, what time did I get the call? 5:35 to preach tonight. Amen. Yeah, I always have one in your pocket. Praise God. Amen. I think the only thing I got in my pocket now is a pen, but praise God. Holy Ghost always delivers. That never let me hang in. Amen. So if we're continually, I got an opportunity to pray with Sister Shauna's mom that following Monday at the cancer center. Walked in and they were all up in there in the corner. And I was like, "Praise, look!" I didn't even know who were in all these. Were waving, and my wife is waving back, and I'm like, "Oh, she's already made friends in here. Look at her go!" And looked over, and Sister Shauna sitting there, and her mom sitting there, and they were having a boohoo fest over there, and I was like, "Oh, praise God, looky here," and I got to meet her, and they got up and left, and I looked back up in the doorway and looked over, and there's Sister Shauna standing with her mama in the wheelchair, and she's waving at me to come over, and I walked over there and said, "What's going on?" And her mom looked at me, and she said, "One last prayer," and man, Holy Ghost jumped inside of me, and I said, "No, as long as you got breath in your lungs, sister, that Bible tells us to pray without ceasing." Amen. We're to talk to the Father, just like when we were kids. If we needed something, what'd we do? We asked Daddy for it, right? "Daddy, could you get me this?" Or, you know, a parent, a leader in our lives, and we say, "Hey, Dad," and man, she was receptive. I said, "You know what? I didn't have the best dad as well growing up, but when I needed something, either mom or dad, they took care of it." Amen. And got to pray with her and looked at her in her eyes, and she was receiving. I know she was on some pretty strong medicine at the time, but I believe that she knew exactly what she was requesting, and we come into agreement about what we were going to pray about. We prayed about it right there in the middle of that cancer center. Amen. Not ashamed of the gospel, not to pat ourselves on the back or be boastful, but when we got done, one of the ladies who's kind of in charge over that place, she came up, she said, thank you. And I thought she was saying thank you for the chocolates that my wife had brought and set on the counter there. And I said, oh, no, not a big deal. And she goes, no. Thank you for praying with our patient. And I said, praise God. Is there any more? Bring them on. Amen. There's a lot of things that God put together that deal. Amen.
Shauna's been talking. We've been talking about going over there to pray for her mom, but her mom really doesn't want us ever, you know, to come over to her home.
Amen.
And so Shauna was in tears just the fact that God ordained it, where that you would be the associate pastor of our church at the cancer center at the same time and able to pray for her mother.
Amen. Because when we showed up, it's usually lunchtime.
Yeah.
And they kind of thin out during that period. As a matter of fact, they shut the front door, the ladies at the front leave. So if you're not already in there, you don't get in there until after lunchtime is over with. So, yeah, God put all this stuff. And as a matter of fact, when we got home later that night, that Sunday night, Becky was talking to Shauna because Shauna was saying, thank you for all that. And she said, just let Pastor Chris know that when I got up this morning, when I sat up in the bed, I was singing that song already whenever I sat up in the bed, amen, to get up and come to church. So God had already begun to move. And not only just that, having the song sung, but in order to stir the spirit in her, to be there with her mom, to be pushing her out, amen, and to turn around and come back and request prayer and to pray right there in the middle. I mean, I got long sleeves on, but it was a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing, amen. And he's not done. There's still things going on, amen. I know that Shauna said she accepted the Lord, praise God. So I believe that sister is, she's still alive. There's still opportunity, amen. God's will be done, but there's still opportunity, praise God. So as believers, we're to pray without ceasing, amen. Bible says call upon the elders of the church. So if you've been saved more longer than her, then you're an elder to her, praise God. So we keep praying and ask for healing, amen, to be made whole in one form or fashion, amen. So I was praying about what to preach on. So I had a 45-minute drive coming in, and I done preached two sermons in the truck coming in my head, but I didn't write none of it down, so I guess it was all just for me, praise God. But what God showed me through all of everything that we've been through and everything that the church has been through and everything that we're still going through, amen, I'm truly blessed that have brothers and sisters, mainly brothers in Christ, that, man, they started about, some of them start at 3:30 in the morning. Most of them come at about 5 with responses kicking off at about, what, Rick, 5:45, 6 o'clock in the morning, with scripture and word being text to my phone. So if my alarm clock doesn't go off, my phone's over there beeping and vibrating, so I know that I got to get up and go to work, at least it'd, you know, have the word being instilled. So what's being been shared amongst the brethren and out of the word, and I see what's going on in the church and what's going on in life, I begin to pray about, Lord, what would you have me share tonight with everybody? And he just gave me one simple word. Y'all brace yourselves. You ready? You ready? You ready? I don't think y'all ready. Y'all look like y'all all ready to go to sleep. You need to take a lap outside real quick? Like just one lap, not just one? Amen. The simple word of faith. No, not you, Faith. No, not the little blonde-headed girl. No. Amen. But that's where she got her name from. Amen. Praise God. So, faith. If you're taking notes tonight, write that down. Just a simple word, faith. Amen. Anybody here know what faith is? See, here's the deal. Y'all got to learn about, you going to sit like that all night? You comfortable? Hey, your neck hurts. Amen. See, I'm not above calling you out. I'll do it. I only preach so often, so I got to make up for a whole bunch of lost ground. Amen. But y'all have never heard me preach before. I like interaction. It's like telling a dog, sick them. Amen. A dog, you tell them, go get it. They just sit there. You get them all stirred up and whatever. Keep telling them, get it, get it, get it, get it, get it. We'll go all night. Amen. So it's only 8 o'clock, so we're just now getting started. Praise God. Faith. Anybody know what faith is besides a little blonde headed? Are you a teenager yet, Faithy?
Not yet.
No, 12? Next year, one more year. In between. Amen. Praise God. Anybody know what faith is? The definition of faith. Come on now. That's close. See, they went biblical on you. I'm just looking for simple terminology. I'm a simple guy. She went to school, didn't she? Praise God. Raise her hand. Amen. Everybody else just blurted it out. Praise God. Go ahead, sister. Anybody else? Pardon me? Acting out what you believe. Okay. Risk. That's good. Amen. Trust. There you go. We're getting there. Yield. Amen. Praise God. It's all true. You're all right on track. Amen. Nobody's out in left field with anything. Somebody didn't say something, baseball or whatever. I don't know. But everybody's on track. If you look up the dictionary or what have you, it says putting complete trust in something or someone. Amen. Complete trust. Having complete yielding to them. Hey, I got faith. You're going to catch me. Well, dude, there ain't nobody behind you. You're putting your faith in. Amen. So it's that. So, pardon me? Consistency in a profession. Amen. Call yourself a Christian. Then there's some stuff that goes along with it. First Lady Clover threw it out there first. She threw out what? Hebrews 11:1. Anybody got their Bible with them tonight? Anybody? Yeah. Anybody got a Bible? One, two, three. Come on now. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. So right off the bat, which was good, we had the 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What we're truly looking at right there is not so much a definition as it is a description of what faith is, the action of faith. Amen. So faith is consciously in our minds, resoluting from our heart that, all right, Sean, I'm going to lean up. I'm going to fall down off these steps. You're going to catch me, right? Yeah, I'm going to catch you. Well, I got faith that he's going to do what he said he's going to do. Amen. So then the action comes with substance of things hoped for. I'm hoping he's going to catch me and everything's things not seen. I hadn't seen him do it yet, but I'm hoping that he's what? I'm hoping in the foretelling of what he's going to do. Amen. So we got kind of an understanding of what faith is, right? So in our lives, what does Jesus tell us? What are we to do with faith? Put it completely and totally in him, right? Amen. All y'all were like, what in the world? Where's he going with this? Don't worry. There's no grade on any of this. So I'm not going to grade you. Praise God. We're here to edify and build up, right? See, a lot of times in the church, we get scared like that because that's the way we've been trained, right? Man, if I say something wrong, I'm going to be demoralized. I'm going to be put down. If we read the book of Ephesians, what's it tell us to do? Build up. Let no corrupt or words and stuff come from you, right? We're not to tear one another down. So that's, I see people in church a lot of times when a pastor asks a question, they're going to hold back. Well, I don't know if he's going to go that way. We shouldn't be that way. If we call ourselves a Christian and we're studying his word and we're standing upon his word, we should not be ashamed. If we're asked a question, we should do better, or at least tell the truth of, I don't know, but I'm going to go find out real quick. Amen. Or I don't know, tell me. Let's have a conversation. Let's discuss it. Amen. So he tells us that in Hebrews chapter 11. So we know that that's kind of a description of what? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So as I was driving along, I was like, Lord, okay, so we got the definition of faith worked out, having submission, we have faith into, having our minds turned over to. How'd you put it a while ago, Sean? That was good how you put that. A consistency in our profession. A consistency in our profession of faith of Jesus Christ. Amen. So once we have that faith, what are we to do with it? We're to put it totally and completely in him. How much of it are we to have? How much faith? Pardon me? Sean's already read all my notes. Amen. So we go here. I got one of these handy-dandy tab things here, and it keeps me all nice and confused and in order. Amen. Turning your Bibles over to Matthew chapter 17 is the verses that I'm going to do. There are a couple of other verses in there, and I encourage you to look those verses up and study them out about the parables of the mustard seed that are used in the other books. In Luke, they're back in Matthew chapter is it 7:13? I have to look it back up. He talks about the Christian walk, the kingdom of God being as of a mustard seed as well. But right now we're talking about what? Faith. All right, Jacoby's paying attention. Anybody else? He's got like 75% of the questions asked. We're talking about faith tonight. So how much faith are we supposed to have? Pastor Sean said what? That of a mustard seed. Everybody here knows what a mustard seed is? Very small. One of the, or if not the smallest seed on the planet. Anybody know how big it is? Come on, y'all. Y'all got Google, and y'all could be pulling this stuff up, just talking to it and what have you. It's just a dot, right? They say that it averages between 1 to 2 centimeters. That's pretty small. Amen? That's pretty small. Praise God. We were watching a movie the other night. What was that movie we were watching where that little girl planted one? She went to Sunday school class. The Broken Road. Amen. That was a pretty good movie. Got to watch that. But a little girl puts that deal in there, and the Sunday school teacher's telling her, she's like, hey, this is one of the smallest seeds, and the ratio at which it grows is one of the greatest of the plants here on earth. Amen. Anybody know how big the bush, the mustard seed, it's actually called a tree. Anybody know how big that tree gets when it grows? See, this is all good information because I see some seasoned saints up here going, I don't know, I've never been asked that question before. Praise God. Amen. Y'all mark that on the tape. I got Sean on the front row going, woo, he's wearing Google out right now. I got the phone out. He's just going at it. Praise God. I got one up on him. Amen. Mustard seed, you got it there on your tape? How big does the bush get? Does it say on there? Oh, it's just got a picture of it on there? Amen. They call it a tree. It looks like a bush. But this thing grows between 6 and 9 feet tall. Amen. That's a little bit taller than me. Just a little bit. Y'all judging. Stop. Amen. But, Lorinda, what are you laughing at over here? Amen. Hold on a minute. My wife's got her hand up. Go ahead. 30 foot? Well, wait, what mustard seed are you reading? Because the Google I looked at said 6 to 9 feet. Oh, man. It says it's a tree big enough that the birds make their nest in. Amen. Gives them branches for them to land on. Amen.
Between 6 and 20 feet.
6 and 20 feet. Praise God. Amen. So it goes from 1 to 2 centimeters, basically a grain of sand. Huh?
Millimeters?
I read it wrong again. A grain of sand. Yeah, there's Sean. He's just, got him. Amen. This is one of the most eventful Thursday night throwdowns we had. We're going to throw down in a minute, though. Right, praise God. You would be right. Millimeters would be, yeah, that small. About the, like, like a speck, like you said earlier, just basically a pin dot in there. But so something that small turning into that much. Amen. That quick, because I forget what the duration was on it too. It's months or something like that it takes place. But it's like 30 or 60 days before it sprouts. 5 to 10 days it sprouts, and then it takes off from there. So I'm getting all kinds of numbers thrown out there. The gist of it is this small to that big. All right, moving forward. Praise God. Amen. So as believers, we take on that faith and say, "Hey, Lord, I believe." Now, I told y'all that testimony here this morning. Here I've been serving the Lord. Sean back there writing down a sermon already. Well, I could take this 100 different ways, man. Amen. It's my time. Praise God. Amen. I told y'all that testimony here this morning. Here I've been serving the Lord, the associate pastor of a congregation, and my faith was for naught. To tell you the truth, what it boils down to, and Jesus talks about it right here. I'm not going to do this sermon justice because I've heard some other preachers preach specifically on this. Brother Jay sent me one once here a while back that was just unbelievable. I wish I could pull it back up and just hit play for y'all because it is, wow, it is awesome. But Jesus addresses this right here in Matthew chapter 17, starting in verse 14. What it boils down to, that lack of faith is unbelief. It's unbelief. A lot of us go, oh, no, I still believe in God. Do you believe in him no matter what? Do you believe in him from that tiny mustard seed all the way to that great of a tree? Is he truly capable of that in your life? See, a lot of people, because I was that guy, I was like, oh, Lord. When I told y'all that he was chastising me, when he was teaching me just from that Sunday and then having the conversations and sharing with me and then going back and meditating on what God had already brought us through so far. I know, Chris, you keep going back. Hey, I spent a month in a hospital. It was almost like being locked up. Almost. I didn't say it was. It was almost like being locked up. The ladies that went and sat with my wife, y'all can attest to it, right? Sitting there with a mask on your face all day, bringing your own, breathing. I pray, yeah, everybody brush their teeth. But breathing that hot air that you were expelling and then back in, it's not fun, is it? No. But what we're getting back to is the faith from that mustard seed. Do we truly have faith in God? The word says right here, it says the disciples, and I believe I got one of these handy-dandy study Bibles, starting in verse 14, and it says, and when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic. It translates into epileptic, and sore vexed. For oftentimes he falls into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. So here's this man who's got a sick son. Here I had a sick wife. It doesn't matter the case. Here I had a friend that was addicted to drugs. Here I have myself who wanted a song sung on a Sunday morning service. And it says that this certain man brought his son to the disciples. Who were the disciples? Come on, church, wake up. Pardon me? They were Jesus' hand-picked. Hand-picked, church. Who am I? Like I said, I'm probably not going to do this justice, but I got it. I'm getting it. At first it came with a whooping, and now it's coming with a heart change, which leads to a mind change, a renewing of the mind. Just because I'm associate pastor, I don't have it. Amen? Here this man brings his son to the disciples. Jesus is hand chosen, the select. In most eyes, the elect. In a small group, others thought that they were the elect. But here, this certain man, wasn't just anybody, this certain man who had a sick son brought him to the disciples. And what does he say? He says, I brought him to the disciples, and they could not cure him. We're saved, we're sealed with what? Holy Spirit. If you go all the way back to Genesis, what happened when Holy Spirit moved? What happened in the beginning, in Genesis, when God spoke, what did the Spirit do? See, this is something we got to pay attention to, church. When God spoke in Genesis, the Bible says that Spirit moved and things happened. God created it all, but Holy Spirit did the work. Come on, church. It's in the Bible. I'm not making this stuff up. So if we're believers, Holy Spirit dwells within inside of us. Do we not have capability? But it's based upon what? Faith, which is belief, trust. Amen. We got to peel back the layers of the onion and get down inside where it's real stinky and really makes your eyes water. Oh, we don't want to go to that part. We don't want to go to that part, do we? Who's going to cut up the onions? Let's draw straws. Oh, I brought home a Mally. You sent them home too, didn't you? That bag of onions the other day. Everything in my refrigerator, even my milk. Amen. Praise God. Somebody said that Ziploc keeps it all in. They lied. Oh, they lied. Whew. We call ourselves Christians. We say that we what we believe in and we have faith in, yet we walk around beat up, disgusted, kicked down, woe is me, with what? Poor, pitiful me syndrome. Oh, I'm just having a bad day. Really? You're having a bad day. What about the brother or sister over there that's getting her head cut off? Oh, I see them over there, though. They're in that bad area. Well, let me tell you something. It's a small, small world, church. Yeah. It is a small, small world. And it's been going on for a long time. And Jesus even dealt with it. He talks about it here. He says, then Jesus answered and said, O faithless, what's that word translated into? 17:1. Use your Bible here, Chris. Right there. Then Jesus answered and said, O unbelieving and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer with you? Bring him hither to me. That's how much God loved this individual that was vexed with this demon. That he wasn't going to put it back. I'll take him back over there again and the disciples will take care of him. No, he said, bring him here. That's how much he loved him. He said, bring him here. We'll set him free from this. But Holy Spirit, how do you... The disciples had the capability to heal this child. And if y'all don't get the context of how Jesus is answering, because it's in red letters, these are his words that he spoke to this man. If y'all are not picking up, let me change my voice. Oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? That's a rhetorical question if y'all didn't know. How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. He's upset. How upset do you think the Father is with me? Two times he took that control, or he had the control the whole time, but he let me fail in my own scheming mind to get that song sung that Sunday morning. It's about the sermon's to me because it dealt with me and what I'm going through or was going through. See, when my wife was laying there that night and she was dying, and my daughter, we were sitting on a little couch over there against the wall, it wasn't nothing I could do. They had her hooked up to a heart monitor over there, and I continued to watch the pulse and the oxygen level and the heart rate and everything just continued to decline, 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 decline. I think it got down to 53 over 30-something. Well, when those two numbers get together, that means you're dead. This man had a son that was on the verge of death, said that he was falling into the fire because he would have basically an epileptic seizure, succumbed by this demon, but he oftentimes fell in the water. Y'all ever seen anybody have a seizure before? They just lock up. They turn into a rock, basically. So could you imagine somebody falling into the water just locked up? They sink right to the bottom, don't they? Because in order to float, what do you got to do? You got to relax, don't you? I got enough body insulation. I float pretty easy, but get tensed up, you sink to the bottom. No matter how much insulation you got on you. This man was concerned about his son to the degree that he took him to the disciples and he didn't quit there. He's like, hey, he still had faith in him. He's like, I know the guy that they serve. I know that he can set him free. So he went and found him. He's going to be here. I got faith that he's going to heal him, that he's going to see him, he's going to touch him, he's going to set him free. When I was sitting there that night, I knew that there was nothing I could do. And even though there was 15, 20 people inside there doing what all they had to do and taking their measurements and doing all that, the only thing I knew to do was pray to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And this is what I do know, church. The evidence of things hoped for is my wife sitting right back there on that back row. Is that that song got sung Sunday morning because God knew the desire of my heart. Even though I was being disobedient, he still said, all right, son. All right, son. I know, like Pastor was preaching on, that everybody, there's somebody watching no matter. I was watching my wife. God was ministering to me that night. But I know that there were others around watching and going, wow, wow, wow. Not for my benefit, but for God's glory. Because I know every opportunity that I got, I was giving Jesus the praise. But I see how he put all that together, how we moved from there down into the ICU room, and the next morning that we were down there, hadn't had any sleep for 2 days now, walking around, I saw a little black lady walking down through there, and she was one of the, what do they call them, technicians. She wasn't a nurse, but she was a tech. So she did all the dirty work and what have you, changing bedpans and all that stuff. But when she walked by the window down there, the Bible tells us what, to be a peculiar people. When she walked by, I knew that she believed in Jesus Christ. She had a little bit of Pentecostal in her. She was the only lady walking around down there that was a tech that was wearing a dress. All the rest of them had scrubs on. But she had her scrub top on, but she had a dress on. I grew up, I spent a little bit of time in a Pentecostal church. When I saw that, I recognized it. And I knew that God had us there for a reason. But we were there 3 or 4 days, and they rotate techs around. And I totally, completely forgot about it until she walked in one morning. She said, hey, I forget her name, but she said, I'll be your tech this morning. I said, praise Jesus. She said, amen. I said, all right. And right there, as she's writing her name on the board, man, I wish I could remember her name. As she's writing the name on the board, she's like, I heard y'all praying in here, and I know y'all godly people, and I've been trying to get by here and meet you. And I said, amen, you're here right now. You look like you might have a little Pentecostal. And she goes, let me tell you my testimony. I used to be jacked up, screwed up, living on the street, shooting up with everything I could get my hands on, and then the Holy Ghost got a hold of me. I said, amen. And she wasn't ashamed of it. The more we talked, the louder she got. I said, praise God. That's what we need in here. Amen. And she said, now y'all pray for me because I got this guy next door that's cussing me and spitting on me and all that, and I got to go over here and take care of him right now. I said, all right, we can go over there and put hands on, lay hands on him and help out. She goes, no, I got it. I got it. So I got a little street left in me. I said, amen. Amen. Praise God. But the faith that we have. Amen. Had another Hispanic guy that kept walking by, didn't know this guy from Adam. Amen. Adam walked in right out, wouldn't know him. Amen. This Hispanic guy, big guy too, kept walking by. And man, I just made eye contact with him one morning. He said, hey, how you doing? I'm doing good. And the man had just began to grow. A couple of days that we were down there, and walking by, hey, how you doing? I noticed he'd come, and he'd have to leave to go to work, and he'd come back, and doing all right, yeah. Hey, man, he made it a point too. He'd be looking, kind of check. We kept the curtains closed, but I'd catch him, man. He'd always be looking and trying to get a wave in, or I'd be going down to get something to eat or whatnot, and he'd, well, hey, how you doing? Well, there was one day that I walked by. It was kind of, I think it was Thursday. I was thinking about something else, and I walked down to the nutrition center down there to get a cup of coffee, and as I was coming back, I noticed him and his son. His wife was in there, and him and his son were sitting there, or they were standing over the bed. And as I walked by, he said, good morning. And I stopped, and I backed up, and I looked. He said, I didn't see you this morning. Oh, heck, yep, sorry. He was looking. Well, later that afternoon, they needed to start an IV in his wife. She was having some complications. She was in and out of coherency or what have you. They needed to start an IV right there. And whenever they poked her, she lost it. She woke up, and she didn't want it there. And things got bad. And I went out to get lunch. And as I walked out, he was standing at there's doors there that you can't get in and out unless they let you in. And he was standing there, and he was trying to look down the hall. And as I was walking out, I waved to him, he just kind of head nodded. And you could tell, man, he had that 1,000-yard stare. He was paying attention down there. And as I walked by, Holy Spirit said, pray with him. I was like, God, that waiting room was packed full of people. So I began to negotiate with God, and I said, all right, Holy Ghost, I got to get down here and get lunch and before they close. And if I come back and he's still there, then I'll pray with him. Whew, maybe I'll be off the hook. Maybe be And when I come back, he was still standing there looking and looking and looking. And he had some other family members around him, and they were... And I wasn't trying to get in their business and whatnot, but as I walked up to that door, I thought, you know what, they're talking. I'll get with him later, whatever. And as I stand at the 1,000-yard stare down there, and he's all this going on, and the lady buzzed the door, and it slid open, and he said, how you doing? I turned around, and I said, you talking to me? He said, yeah, how you doing? I said, I'm doing all right. The question is, how are you doing? And he began to tell me, he said, my wife, they tried to put an IV in her, and I went down there a little later on. There was blood everywhere. They'd hit a vein, but not to be disgusting, but it was rough. And I said, you all right? He's like, no, they need to put two in her. She needs two, and they got the one, and she won't let them get the other, and it's a little rough. And, man, Holy Ghost, I could not be disobedient anymore. And I said, man, I'm a pastor of a church. You believe in Jesus? He said, yeah, I believe in Jesus. I said, you want to pray? And he said, yeah, let's pray. I said, right here, right now, that door was trying to shut on me. I said, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And you could have heard a pin drop in that waiting room. Just a simple mentioning of the name of Jesus Christ, and people had reverence for it right then and there. Jesus said right here, it says, and Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. When Jesus spoke, something happened. Ladies and gentlemen, if we have Holy Spirit inside of us and call ourselves Christians and we say that we believe in Jesus Christ and we have faith in Jesus Christ, why are we letting people walk around beat up, sick, disgusted, wore out, running in the same rut that they've been running in? We know it when we see it. You know why? Because we've been there. But do we have unbelief? Or do we have faith? Like I said, I'm not doing these scriptures justice tonight, but this is what Holy Ghost has been showing me. Are we truly going to be obedient? When Holy Spirit speaks, when God speaks to us and says, hey, pray for that person. Hey, pull over, give that person a ride. Hey, help that person out financially. Hey, give that person a piece of bread. Give them a meal. Give them a word. A lot of times just talking to somebody is all that person needs. All I needed that Sunday morning was a song. I just needed a song in order to put the icing on my year for 2018. I won't ever forget this year for the rest of my life, but that was the icing on top of the cake that Sunday morning. I only got a couple of weeks left, but it's going to be hard to top that for me. I know God is an awesome God, but that was the icing on the cake that Sunday morning. Chris, it was just a song. No, you're not getting the gist of it, church. Direct line. It says that he tore the ribbon veil from top to bottom. There's spiritual significance in that. It says the earth shook and the veil was torn, giving us direct, that's exactly, thank you, Holy Ghost, that or Sean, that was direct access right into the holiest of holies. You and I have that access, church. Says who? Says the Word of God. But how often is it being utilized? How often are we getting into our private place, our secret place of prayer with God, and giving our all to Him, giving our mustard seed of faith to Him, planting it in His Word so that it can grow into that 20-foot tree that birds can land in and partake of and nest? I have fallen so short. Not poor, pitiful me, but hey, I've been shown. Now what am I going to do about it? What am I going to do about it? When I read through these scriptures, I didn't study them long, but I'd been meditating about what Holy Spirit had showed me. I began to think into my mind, who in the Bible had awesome faith? Ask yourself that question. Who in the Bible? Because there's a litany of people. But I'm going to tell you who popped into my mind. Anybody want to know? Abraham. Amen. Pardon me? The soldier. The centurion. The three brothers. Like I said, Daniel. Come on, church. Noah. Building a boat when there hadn't been no... Whew. Amen. Sarah. I'm with Rick. Moses popped in my head right then and there. On many different, like I said, there we could go on all night for all the people about faith in here. But Moses really jumped into my mind whenever I was meditating upon it and praying. I was like, Lord, so we know what faith is. We know the measure of faith. Then what are we supposed to do with it? Now, show me an example of how it worked out. Moses popped into my mind. And not only the fact that he led the children of Israel out of captivity, out of Egypt, but he had faith to meet with God. Now, I'll be honest with you. I've heard from God. When that night my wife was dying, inside my flesh was, just distraught. But my spirit, man, I don't know. Peace that surpasses all understanding is the best way that I can describe it to you. You can ask my daughter. She was sitting right. Was I boo-hoo crying when we were going through all? Mm-mm. And she wasn't either. Because I know Holy Ghost had control of the whole scenario. I'm not lying to you, man. My flesh was just, oh, my goodness. But my spirit, man, which overcame that flesh to hold it all together, I was peace that surpassed all understanding. That's the only way I can describe it to you. Because I was in that room experiencing it. Moses had faith to meet with God. It says that he climbed Mount Sinai. That's faith in itself right there. See, a lot of times whenever I was in Sunday school and it gave the picture, everybody, they always had the picture book when they told the stories to the children, and that's great and all what have you. They just showed Moses on top of the mountain up there, right, meeting with God in the cloud and what have you, and when he placed him in the cleft. We're all pretty much adults in here, right? What really goes through your mind whenever he had to climb up that mountain and meet with God? Do you honestly think that it was a nice, easy switchback road path that had been beaten down and trodden and had a nice handrail on it and smooth walking all the way up there? I believe that there was some work that had to be done. Hey, y'all, I'm going up there. I looked it up on Google real quick. 7,500 feet above sea level was the top of Mount Sinai. There's a couple different ways to pronounce that, but what do we say? Sinai? 7,500 feet above sea level. That was a mountain. I've been on some mountains in the side of Pennsylvania, and they weren't cleft rocky, but they were still hard to walk on. They were still hard to traverse through the timber and the rocks and the fallen leaves and stuff during grouse season and what have you. This is a mountain out in the desert. So, yeah, jagged, rocks. There was some work. God called him and said, hey, come on up here. We're going to talk. What kind of faith is that? What kind of faith is that, church, that you're going to meet with God? You ever had that kind of meeting with God? I know I haven't. Has he spoken to me? Yes. Clear as a bell. You can't convince me otherwise. But how many of us have met with God? It says that Moses was in the presence of God so much that it shone upon his face. When the other people looked at him, they saw the evidence of the presence of God upon him. When somebody looks at me, what do they see? A beard, a little bit of hair, a pot belly. I know Sean's thinking it. Short little dude? No, it says when the people looked upon Moses, they knew that he had spent time with God. When that lady walked down the hallway, I knew that she was a believer of God. Church, that's where we're supposed to be at. That's a bare minimum. That when somebody looks upon you and says, that's a believer, what's your name? Doesn't know a thing about you, but they can look at you and say, there's something different about you. I've experienced this a couple of times. One time was whenever I took my wife to meet the rest of my family up in Pennsylvania, my old running buddy. We'll just leave it at that. We went to dinner one night. I got up to go to the restroom. I found this out later when we got back. I got up and went to the restroom, and my old running buddy leaned across the table to my wife and said, "What did you do to him? That ain't the same dude." He knew. We weren't serving God. Let's just leave it at that. He knew that things had changed. Church, that's the presence that we should be putting out there to this community, to the ones we work with, to our loved ones. Now, let me brace yourselves. It's not going to be received by everybody. Those loved ones are going to look at you and go, "This is the one I get often. Oh, you holier than thou." If that's what you want to call it, so be it. Because this right here is what I'm going to live by. Everything that comes into my life, this right here is going to be the filter to it. Oh, you're just being a little fanatic about it. You can describe it however you want, but I know how my life was, and I know how it is whenever I serve God. Come on, church. I don't call myself perfect. I'm not above constructive criticism as long as it lines up with the Word of God. A lot of people take that out of context. Well, I tell you what you're doing wrong. You're being too hard on them kids. Well, no, that's not what the Word says. Well, you used to do that when you was a kiddo. Well, number one, I'm not a kid no more. And number two, I'll just be straight with you. I wasn't raised according to all this. Oh, how dare you put that out there like that? I'm just telling you the truth. Remember what I told you back in the beginning whenever we started this session? Don't be ashamed to talk. If you know what the Word says, then stand upon it. Because the Bible says that you ain't got a thing to worry about as long as it lines up with the Word. And more importantly, if it is the Word straight up, you ain't got nothing to worry about. That's why it's rejected so much. Because there's no way to tear it apart or break it down or get around it. The way, the truth, and the life. When we stand upon this and this alone, that mustard seed turns into that tree. Church, we're not getting this. That mustard seed turns into that tree when it's planted in the Word of God. When that Word of God is planted in our hearts, whenever we become the Word of God. The true living, when it goes back to Hebrews 11:1, what did it say? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. We become the action of faith. Put it to work. What did James say? Don't be a hearer, but a doer of what? The Word. I know I don't get to hooping and hollering and screaming and yelling and all that good stuff. Amen. Be a doer of the Word. Not a doer of your thoughts, not a doer of your scheming mind and heart and flesh. A doer of the Word of God. And the only way that we're going to be a doer of the Word of God is if first we have it with us. Oh, you don't understand. I can't afford to get a Bible. Let me tell you what. If you needed to get from point A to point B, for whatever reason, I guarantee you'd find a way. You're going to call yourself a Christian, truly a Christian. You're going to seek His ways. You're going to seek His Word. You're going to desire Him to know Him. I know whenever I was dating my wife back there, I lived over 2 hours away from her. Yet I figured out a way to get to see her. I remember driving all the way to Dallas to visit her for 30 minutes. No, you didn't. Hey, I got witnesses. I would drive two and a half hours from Mount Vernon, Texas to Grapevine, Texas, visit her for 30 minutes after work at a tire store, and then drive back home, get up the next morning, and go to work again because she was the desire of my heart. Not to brag, I'm just telling you, boast. Whatever the desire is in your heart, you will find it. So when I see people walking around without the Word of God, I got it on my phone. And when the battery goes dead, what do you have? A piece of plastic. Now, get you the Word of God. Become part of it. Wear that dude out. If you need one, let me know. I will get you one personally. Come on, church. If we're going to have faith, if we're going to call ourselves Christians, we're going to desire Him, we're going to want His benefits, you're going to have to do the work. I'm going to have to do the work. Man, you always get up there chastising. No. See, y'all missed it. This is all on me. The associate pastor. Man. Now, if the shoe fits, you're more than welcome to borrow it. Amen. Praise God. What kind of faith do I have? What am I going to do with it? Amen. Now, before the whole congregation goes to sleep, let's stand up and close out in prayer. Amen. Praise God. I'm telling you, if we would have took just one lap outside, one lap, everybody in here would be awake. Everybody. Sean couldn't handle it. He got to preach.
You were going to touch on it too. In order for that little bitty mustard seed, in order for that little bitty mustard seed to grow into that huge tree,
it's got
to
be planted.
It has to be watered.
It's got to be planted. Amen.
It's got to be planted, but it also has to be watered.
Amen.
It has to be watered.
Amen.
What is
representation
the word?
Of the word is water.
Representation of the
That's
word.
That's right. Y'all get that, church?
Amen. You have to, in order in
Praise God.
Amen.
Hey, next time maybe it'll be your turn to preach. Praise God. Did y'all get anything out of it? Anything? Praise God. I thought I'd lost y'all. Amen. Praise God. Go ahead and pray us out, Sean. Oh, you put the microphone down, didn't you? Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the opportunity to be able to come in. You know, the purpose of the church, Lord, is to come in and to build up and to edify and to equip the saints, dear Heavenly Father. It's a misunderstanding of what the purpose of the church is. Folks think that the purpose of the church is for the unbeliever, and that's not the case, Lord. It is the purpose of equipping the saints so we can go out and minister the gospel to the unbeliever, dear Heavenly Father. And I thank you for this congregation. I thank you for this body, dear Heavenly Father, that you've planted us in, Lord. And Lord, I pray that today this word, it's planted and it's watered and it grows and we stand on it. You know, the faith is the substance. That word substance is hupostasis. And if we know anything in this congregation, we know that hupo is to stand.
Amen.
To be under, to stand. Hupostasis, the evidence, the substance of things hoped for, to Heavenly Father. Lord, and the hope is that readied expectation that what your word says it's going to do, it does whenever we apply it to our life, to Heavenly Father. And I thank you for this opportunity, to Heavenly Father. Good word, brother. And I thank you that you've laid it on his heart to minister this word to Heavenly Father. Take this word to Heavenly Father. Move it in us. Show us how to apply it in our life, dear Lord. We give you all praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Y'all remember, Sunday after church is the Christmas party. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Desserts. And a $10 gift for the White Elm or whatever. And don't make that a reason not to come. You know, well, I can't get a gift. Hey, don't make that a reason. It's going to be fun. It's awesome. You're going to see some sides of people that it's entertaining. Amen. Y'all watch Sharon's bag. Oh, it's not a $10. That's called a cover charge. No. $10 max gift. So if you can find that's right, if you want. That means if that's $10 max, if you want to find a $2 gift that's awesome, because that's what I did. I found like a $1.50 gift and got it. Amen. Amen. But come. Amen. That's right. Amen. But come out. Bring somebody. It's an awesome time. Amen. Thank you.